if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy. It's episode 374 of BRB UK. I think we're still just clutching on to 2019. Is that right, Coleman?
Let me just do the math. Math checks out.
Match checks out. It's still 2019, unless you're listening to it in the future.
If you got this on day one, it should be the 27th of December.
It should have just squeaked in.
Mmm.
Like squeaky. A hot dog down a hallway.
Like a fart in an office. Just squeak that one out.
Tim Hibbs.
Yes?
How is worshipping the Brussels sprout deity going? That was the homework I gave you last episode.
Yep.
I expect some progress.
Our new game on Big Red Barrel UK. Name that deity!
And it's the deity, it's the god of Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
Did you come up with a name, or are we going to have to name him for you?
Alfred.
Nope, that's I think you'll find he's actually called Alfredo.
Alfredo, okay.
Alfredo, the god of Brussels sprouts.
Alfredo.
I smell like a fat and I taste like a burp.
What was that name again?
Alfredo.
Alfredo. God of the Brussels sprouts.
So there we go. I actually think you know, because I was going for Cthulhu again, and you were going for who?
Dagon.
Dagon. I think actually you won the deity off this festive season, Tim. Well done.
Good.
Congratulations.
The power of Brussels sprouts compels you.
Let's play this now bi-yearly game of which deity we're supporting.
Not sure that's the game's news everyone was tuning in for, but. That's what it is now. So
that such is the power of Alfredo.
Alfredo, I'm not doing the music again. I don't have it. I don't have a soundboard. It's been a while.
Anywho, it's the end of 2019, chaps.
Yes,
or it's a year one AB after Brussels sprouts, and it's probably time where we reflect upon the year that was and look forward to the year that might be full of games that are probably going to get rescheduled, as often seems to be the name of the game. So, Coleman, you very kindly went back and re-listened to last year's ramblings and found the list of things we were looking forward to, and, well...
It's a confusing list.
I didn't do so well.
I think I did okay. I think I broke the streak.
You did. You broke the streak. So basically what we do at the end of every year, we each pick three games that we're looking forward to that year, many of which invariably are either the entertainment equivalent of face herpes or just don't get released in the first place.
That as is the one that I usually pick.
Yes. So, Tim, we shall start with you, sir. And one of yours is one of mine.
I did okay, hit and miss. Like, I did qualify Anthem with, I am very dubious about Anthem, but I'm very curious to see how it pans out, and I'm interested from a perspective of just seeing what the bloody hell happens with it. But Anthem was on my list, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, and what was your list?
My list was Anthem, Wargroove, and Demon X Machinima, which...
Machina, rather,
yes. Well, you can see why I'm not that interested in that game, as I couldn't even be asked to pronounce it. Yeah,
Machinima.
Why not go with Machinima?
2008's YouTube says hello.
But yeah, like I didn't even end up picking that up. I didn't like the demo of that so much, so I didn't really get into the game very much.
It was very slow.
Yeah, it was just, it felt heavy and slow, but not in a good way that lended itself to the big mechs kind of thing. It just felt, stilted a bit. I don't know. Nowhere near as nice as it looked graphically, basically.
As these were the games you were looking forward to, what was it that attracted you? Let's start with Anthem then. What attracted you to Anthem? Why did you think that would be a top pick?
As I said, I did qualify that slightly with, and I should have definitely picked a different game from Dan's list rather than this one, possibly. I did qualify it with, I love BioWare games. I'm really dubious at this one. I don't think it's necessarily going to pan out. I'm really like what they're trying to do with it, but I'm worried about the structure of the game. I think that was pretty much what I said. I could be overly giving myself a bit too much credit there, but I think that's generally what I was going with. But I was really curious to see how it would pan out and worried about how this would affect the future of BioWare. And the one thing I'll say is hopefully this doesn't seem to have been the death knell for BioWare in general, basically.
Yeah, but they're eyeing off turning the plug off on the life support, aren't they?
Yeah, there is rumours that they're going to sort of, you know, try and revigorate it still and try and give a like big content push.
Well, there has been a big... they recently dropped a patch with some new stuff in it. I think they're kind of the real reboot. It's still rumoured whether or not they offer that as a free update to existing owners, which they should totally do, or make people pay for it, which is probably the route they will take.
I'm hoping they do more of a No Man's Sky thing where it's like, if you've got the game, okay, well done, you get all the updates. If you don't have the game, then go buy the game.
I do have some news on Anthem as well.
Oh, go on then.
I picked it up in the Black Friday sale. It's the one thing
hey,
I picked
how
up.
How much you pay for it?
£4.97, I believe it
actually,
was.
Actually, that is not bad.
Yeah.
I got given a copy.
Hey, now that it, we have a winner, ladies
think,
and gentlemen.
I think as the only person who didn't put Anthem in his 2019 lineup, I think I'm the one who came in quids in.
Well, you can still actually get it for £4.97.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, let's squad up. That's the three of us. Let's go Anthem.
Is there? Can I use my PC character? Probably
I
not.
Don't
Damn
think
it.
So. It's not. Damn mate, it. It's not Destiny.
So what drew you to some of the other games then? So what made you think Daemon X Machina?
Daemon X Machinima. I don't know. I think it was a really impressive trailer. It was a game that looked really good in trailers. And as I said, it's still graphically impressive. And it's one of those things. I don't know about you. I like the idea of mech games and they really appeal to me, but they often don't really deliver. I've played a lot of like... in what felt like enjoyable double A in that kind of lingo sort of thing, games that, you know, not quite the highest polish level, but are enjoyable. And I thought this was going to be something that might be able to deliver on the graphical style and have, you know, a nice story and graphical style presentation to it with some good mech combat. And it just didn't really deliver on that for me from what I saw in the demo. And I just kind of lost interest in it a little bit and didn't really pick it up.
It's a bit of a shame as well, because I remember watching the Nintendo Direct with you where they went through the whole Nintendo Direct and went, also, these games are coming out. And they just flashed through a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And Daemon X Machina just popped up on screen. You're like, wait, what the hell is that? Go back to that one. We want to see that one.
Yeah.
And we were both very excited about it at the time. But the more... we saw about it and then finally got hands on the demo. And I've got my hands on three different demos now of this game, and each one have made me go, I don't like this game.
Yeah, I had to come to that conclusion. It took me a while. And I was like, oh, yeah, I just don't.
I probably would have loved this when I was more patient and if it was on the PlayStation.
Yeah, and, well, won't come into the conversation, but between the two, I definitely enjoyed Astral Chain a lot more than I enjoyed Daemon X Machina, basically. So
come back on that then. What was your last one?
And Wargroove was my last one. I was definitely looking forward to that. We'll come back to that bit later in the show, but that definitely delivered cutesy turn-based strategy in the kind of mold of Advance Wars type of thing. It's something that people had tried to make the different versions of to varying different degrees of success. I think this was the most successful, kind of re-implementation of those kind of ideas into a slightly new formula, but with kind of very much almost being a spiritual successor to that. And the developers very much kind of wore that on their sleeves, saying, we loved the last games, no one's making it at the moment, we're making our own version of it. Really, really heavily delivered on that. Chucklefish did a really good job.
I mean, Chucklefish have fairly consistently released some pretty great games, to be honest with you.
Would we be safe in saying, like, the thing that kind of drew this into the pick for 2019 was you actually played it in preview beforehand at events anyway?
yes, as well. I did play a couple of different variant modes at different events and stuff, basically. So that definitely fed into my opinion that this was definitely going to satisfy exactly what I was looking for. But it really, yeah, we'll come back to that later in the show, but it did deliver for me as well, so yeah.
All right. Dan.
Hello.
Give me your three.
Oh, well, first up was the rip-roaring success that Tim's already spoken about, and that's Anthem.
What
Anthem.
What drew you into Anthem, then?
Okay, it looked like, right, post-apocalyptic, tick, big fighting robots, tick, climb about in a mech suit so you actually control that robot, tick, look really nice, tick. So those were the ticks. The problem was, there was no going, the story was garbage, and the gameplay was, frankly, warmed up kangaroo ass.
Oh.
Very disappointing. My biggest. So it made, in terms of the impact it had on the games industry, I think we can all deny it had an impact, just not the impact they were hoping for.
Yeah, don't trust games with roadmaps.
Yes, indeed.
Never trust
so,
a roadmap.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds like, as Tim said, they're trying to turn it around. I suppose I should go back and have a look at it at some point, but I'm amazed by the way that BioWare plucked defeat out of the jaws of victory with Anthem. It could have and should have been excellent.
Yes, but so many people talk about elements of it being good enough to possibly save, though, no? Like, there's something there that should be a good game and should be built upon and changed in a way that could still be appealing, kind of thing, no?
Yeah, I mean, how much appetite there is within BioWare and EA to pour lots of resource into that.
How much budget there is, I think, is the bigger problem.
Yeah, not much. I'm guessing.
I think both EA and BioWare could do with literally buying a bit more credibility for the future, basically. So I do think it could be something that is possible. Dan, is it worth the £4.97 that I've paid for it, in your opinion? Bearing in mind, I still haven't cleared out the hard drive space I need to get it on my actual console and actually installed and played it yet. But
right, I'm actually just Googling, what can I buy for £4.97? All right, as a leg of lamb, £4.97 a kilo. Would you? Whoa. Do you? How much you like eating lamb?
Oh, I do like a bit of lamb.
I love lamb.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, it might not be as good a value as that, I'm afraid.
Oh.
I think I'd get more enjoyment out of lamb.
I think you probably would.
Lamp them.
There we go. We've solved it. You could get...
That's what they need. They need a lamb upgrade.
Yep, lamp them.
I want to play Lantham.
You got to fight the bad guys.
Dan, what's your second one?
You could get 10...
Dan, come back to the room. Come back to us, Dan.
Ooh, you could get a tongue-piercing jewellery barbell Titan stud. 1.6 mil with a 6 mil stone ball.
No, come back to us, Dan. No, come back.
Hello. Back to the room.
What's the next one? Dad.
Sorry, I went to a bad place there. Ooh, touch utility mechanics gloves, large.
Dan, no.
What?
Come back to
what?
Us.
Okay, right. Yes, well, the next one that was on my list was one that I was really looking forward to. I am really looking forward to it. And the only reason why I'm still looking forward to it is because I've yet to buy it.
Oh, man, you really, really should.
Yeah, Luigi's Mansion 3, I really want to play this game. I just haven't had the time to do so yet.
You need some time, I have to tell you, but it is awesome.
Yeah, but it looks great. It looks great. And, you know, I think it probably, by the looks of the reviews, wasn't quite as well received as the previous Luigi's Mansion, but I still kind of love the feel of the game and the sense of humor it has about itself, and yeah, was really looking forward to it, but looking forward to it so much that I forgot to pick it up because I'm an idiot.
That's something you should treat yourself to over Christmas, Dan. It really, yeah,
yes,
it's worth
I'm
it.
Hoping it's going to be some good sales.
More of a Halloween
Christmas.
Treat, possibly, but you know,
yeah, well, yeah, you know, I'll get it as long as I get it this year, right?
Yeah,
it still counts.
Yeah, yeah, that's
as
fine.
a valid thing.
Treat yourself to a bit of Guigi.
Yeah.
That's got Boxing Day Entertainment written all over it. Lovely. And the last one was Cyberpunk 2077, which has merrily got delayed to next year. So just to sum up, Anthem was rubbish. Luigi's Mansion 3, forgot to buy it. Cyberpunk 2077, not released till next year.
We did warn you with that one, Dan. We did warn you.
Know,
you
right.
didn't listen.
You, shouldn't take your release dates from financial calls. You should always take them from the release dates that get put on trailers and stuff.
So even that isn't necessarily a surefire bet, to be perfect.
Yeah, to be fair, that's pretty risky ground as well, but...
Didn't you do that the year before with Anthem as well?
Yeah, a little bit.
So look out for Dan's predictions of this year. At least one game will not come out in the year that he says it will. So yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm usually it'll be one game that does come out, one game that is really good and I forget to buy, and another one will be rubbish.
Just looking at your future list. Okay, yep. I picked the three there. Yep, okay.
Yeah. So, Coltman, your first up on your picks was Division 2. How'd that work out for you, fella?
So I played the alpha and the beta when they came out. I really, really enjoyed those. And then the game came out. I have the game installed. I have yet to play it.
That's almost as bad as my Luigi's Mansion 3 escapades.
No, that's worse. He spent money without getting anything in return.
Well, I did the tutorial and stuff. But what happened is when the game launched and everyone was playing it, I was in the process of moving house and didn't have any internet for a week as well. Yeah. So when I finally got in, a lot of people that I was expecting to play with had already had their drop off. So it was going to be a game for me and my girlfriend to play together, but we never really got round to doing much more than the tutorial. And then because we played so much, I think we pumped in something like 24 hours into the beta. Because we played so much of that, it's like, oh, we're retreading the same steps we've already done, so it's a bit boring. So we will probably come back to it as well. But
it is a really good game, and there's a lot of end game stuff to do in it, and they have continued to, you know, pour a lot of development resource into it. So it's a corking game. It's really, really good. It's well worth checking out.
Oh yeah, I think the reason I put it in my list at the time was because I played it at the previous EGX, the last Birmingham EGX, and had a lot of fun with it. Went from seemingly no interest into the game to, oh, actually, I feel the improvements they've made into this game, and now I'm really looking forward to squatting up in Division 2. But it didn't really go that way for me. So I'm sure I will get back to it at some point. Just I've got so many single player games I want to be playing at the moment. Secondly, I picked Devil May Cry 5. I'm a big fan of the Devil May Cry series, so I was very excited by the announcement. They released that onto Game Pass, so I've been playing that through Game Pass, and now currently I'm playing it through Project X Cloud as well on my phone. So I really enjoy the game. Something about it's not captured me enough for it to be in my game of the years, for me to stick with it. It's one that I keep coming back to, but I don't know if it's the voice acting or what, but something about the characters in that game bore me slightly.
Yeah, I liked the game. I didn't love it, I think is the... Yeah.
We'll see. And then the other one being Mortal Kombat 11. I can't remember why I actually put that in the games I was looking most forward to. Maybe I just
had
a slot.
Love ripping the spines out of people.
I think in an attempt to not cross over with the games that everyone else had picked, I picked this one because I run out of stuff to talk about. But Mortal Kombat 11, I will talk about that in a moment because I'm really enjoying that game.
Well, that was what we were looking forward to. But actually, what did we end up enjoying? Because I think looking at this list, Tim, you've got one of mine, one of yours. I've got none of mine on my list. To be fair, I'm the one who's failed quite hard there. So, Tim, you've already talked about Wargroove once. You could talk about it again, since that was on your top pick.
Yeah, yeah. And as I said, that really delivered for me. It's one that I keep on intending to go back to and through, you know, playing different games and playing for review. I haven't, but I'm definitely going to get back to that at some point, basically. But yeah, as I said, it really delivered. It's got loads of different modes. It's got loads of different commanders. It's got kind of really helps with the sort of the game variety and stuff as well. But just the base game and the campaign is pretty expansive and really well done. You know, it's got dogs in it. What more do you need, basically?
Cats.
But yeah, like it's a really enjoyable game that really delivered on what I wanted from it, and did that to, as I said, the best level I've seen someone doing that since Advance Wars, basically. And yeah, it really filled a hole in my kind of a sort of gaming void that had been left behind by Advance Wars not being made in recent years. So yeah, one but, I really
as soon as you said I filled the void, I was like, oh, so you got the physical copy of it then, Tim.
So but you know, so it was a game that I really appreciated, basically. So yeah, I really enjoyed that, basically.
Good for you.
I will also mention here that yeah, between this and one of Dan's picks, which we just mentioned as well, Luigi's Mansion 3, and me just saying...
Was I right? Was I right about Luigi's Mansion 3?
It's just delightful. Like, there are things
that are...
There we go.
I knew I was right. Slightly, I've got the moral victory.
There are things that are slightly imprecise about the controls that lead to frustrations throughout the game.
You're a plumber with a hoover on your back at the end of the day, though. How precise can you be?
Right, but there's times when it's wanting you to like spin in a certain direction quite quickly and then do something, and then that the spinning precisely is quite difficult on the sort of control sticks and stuff. Like, there's some slight like things where some boss battles are tasking you to do things that the controls do not handle very well in the game. Those minor frustrations aside, I would say, like, the reason why I don't think it's scoring as highly as the last game is the last game was slightly more intricately woven throughout, and this is a slightly more massive expansion like take on what we did before and putting it to a larger degree. And to that, it's slightly less original and doesn't have that kind of feel to it. They kind of added more things to the formula that they came up with in the last game rather than reinventing it, basically. There's times where they longed out some of what was happening, but generally, like, just the fact that I think there's 15 floors and 2 basements, and you revisit some of those floors, and there's like a big boss battle on almost every floor and lots of other things to discover. It's one of those things where there's like, oh, they put in an animation for that, and it's charming and wonderful, and like just it's just a game that constantly kind of looks to surprise you with interesting and fun game design that puts a smile on your face, and it's something that, you know, for that I really appreciate. Basically, I have finished it now and played through. It does this weird thing where it doesn't seem to give you like a new game plus option, so you've got to load up one of your previous saves if you want to go back and like explore for all the rest of the crystals you can find and all that sort of stuff. But I've actually done that and gone back and explored a little bit more, and having finished that, I'm a little bit of a loss as to what to play next on my Switch, basically.
Pokemon dog with a shield for a face or dog with a sword in his mouth.
Well, yeah, that's possible. But that's 2 out of my 3 games of the year are on the Switch, which I find really interesting and is a big sort of change for me generally. But I think that's very reflective of the amount of time I have spent playing my Switch this year as well. Like, it has become not quite my primary console, maybe, but it has become something that I play almost as much as my PS4, and at times, like, you know, depending on the game and stuff, even more.
Here's a curveball for you. Project xCloud on the Switch, you think that will ever be a thing?
I kind of really hope it is, because that'll marry two things together that'll go quite nicely. But we'll see how that works out. But I would also say that was it not for the... that generally the rules that we kind of come up with for picking these games of the year preclude us from picking a game that... Generally, we have to pick out a game that came out new this year, basically. And I didn't really clarify that with you guys, but if it wasn't for that entire rule, like, I don't know if this year's Switch port of Return of Obra Dinn, it qualifies, but I have to mention it because it is literally my favourite game that I've played this year, basically.
Well, on that note, that's exactly the reason why Dead Cells on Switch didn't find its way into this list.
Yeah. But, I mean, if it wasn't for that qualifier, that could have easily been 3 Switch games on my list of Game of the Year, and that's quite surprising in itself, basically. But like I said, Obra Dinn was literally my favourite game of the year, even though it came out on PC in the previous year, so it's not something I can pick, basically. But yeah, I just find that interesting that 3 of my favourite games this year were all Switch games, basically. But the one I actually picked, for me, like, and I was thinking about it, it could have been Star Wars. I'm really enjoying that, and I'm getting later into the end game. By the time you actually hear this, I will probably have finished that game, and I do really enjoy that. That almost snuck in, and that almost ousted one of the 3 for me. But for me, part of it is the gaming memories that I'll remember in like years to come when I'm reflecting
back
on games that came out this.
Tim.
No, but the kind of things that really, you know, carved out a memorable gaming moment or gaming moments that I'll, you know, remember in years to come. Bar, like, you know, just like I think there's a chance I'll confuse in years to come, I'll confuse Fallen Order with Unleashed and, you know, and other Star Wars titles and stuff like that and misremember bits of that.
So the inexorable mark of time and loss of cognitive function associated with that aside, what the hell is your third game that you liked, Tim?
Right. As I was going to say, for me, one that carved out the most memories is Blood and Truth on PSVR. Like, it really... Again, slightly marred by some technical hiccups here and there, but generally just some of the experiences and memories that I took away from doing stuff in that game, I think that's something that will stick with me and like playing that with friends and showing that to other people as well and their kind of reactions to it as
Blood
well.
Blood and Truth was the kind of the VR action story game. Guy Ritchie
type film, if you like. So Snatch or Lockstock, that type of thing almost like Time Crisis. Yeah, Time Crisis style game, you know, where you're sort of dual wielding pistols and ducking and diving and shooting around people. But in a cheeky gangster kind of... It just seemed really good fun, and they really took the kind of bombastic kind of action movie thing to like as at the highest level they could at every sort of time, and gave you lots of sort of memorable moments. And as I said, that for me will carve out more memorable moments. And I think I did say last year that was a PSVR game I was looking forward to this year as well. So
yeah, you did. I too picked this one up, but I kind of dropped off of it after the casino level in that game. I really struggled to stick with it.
Because I heard there were some real problems with the tracking would glitch out at sometimes the worst possible moment, and that would really break the immersion.
Yeah, I found a lot of technical issues in that game.
It's weird because they don't seem to be like consistent technical issues for me. Like, I'd be really interested. I really want to see this game in next gen with better hand controllers and see that adapted for that, because I think that is the major part of the problem with this game.
I do find, like, as much as I like PSVR, I prefer the smaller PSVR games, because when you play like a Blood of Truth or a Superhot on this generation, well, on this VR headset with this tracking, when you've played something more complex on a Vive or on an Oculus, it really feels limited. And especially when you've got your hand starts floating away while you're trying to aim, you know, that kind of stuff, it really puts a dampener on the game.
But there's some bits of that it's worth persevering through some issues with that to get to some really cool set pieces in this game, basically. And that's where, as I said, it carved out some good memories for me, basically.
Dan?
Hello. Sorry, I slipped into a coma momentarily there.
What are your games of 2019?
My games of 2019? Well, two of these are kind of very... I've chosen kind of based on the atmosphere and story that they tell. So my first up is Control, the erstwhile kind of spiritual successor in some ways to Quantum Break. Control, it's really well... I mean, it's not a perfect game. Some of the controls can get a bit clunky. There are some big difficulty spikes, but what it really succeeds in doing is telling a compelling story in a fantastic atmosphere as well. So Control is essentially the setup is you play a character called Jessie. Her brother went missing in some kind of freak paranormal accident, you know, 13 years previously, and you've essentially gone to the paranormal equivalent of the FBI to go and find out what's going on. And you get there...
Supernatural X-Files.
Yeah, it's something like that. Why not? And you get there, the front desk is empty, and you start snooping around. And before you know it, you get pulled into a web of intrigue. It's always the way. I know, right? But it tells a really nice, kind of rich story that kind of explores... some interesting dynamics about, you know, how paranormal things may affect kind of not only our relationship with the world around us, but with other people as well. And if someone themselves has paranormal abilities, actually, is that something you want to encourage or something you want to imprison and kind of shield the rest of society from? So there's some really interesting concepts there. The game looks fantastic as well.
It seems the longer you go into that game, the more intriguing visuals there are.
And the intrigue is fantastic. And there are some truly great bits of acting, both voice and kind of physical acting as well, which are well worth checking out. And there's a lot to do after the game's finished. There's a lot of kind of hidden secrets to find and additional little kind of bells and whistles for the story that, you know, you can miss if you just follow the critical path. So, yeah, really great game. Really, really enjoyable.
I was going to say, there's lots of hints that Control's coming to Game Pass at some point soon, no?
Yes, and if that is the case, thoroughly recommend picking it up.
Microsoft say Control is coming to Game Pass. Remedy say, no, it isn't.
Yeah, so it's one of the two. It's either yay or nay. But you can probably pick it up for a fairly reasonable price these days, actually. And if you find it for a nice price, it's well worth picking up, definitely. Next on my list is a relatively new entry, bearing in mind I only picked it up a couple of weeks ago, and that is Disco Elysium. So this is the kind of dystopian future it's set in, with, you know, kind of echoes of social upheaval following some war, the replacement of capitalism with what is ostensibly kind of a police state. Lots of really, really interesting themes that get discussed in this game. Lots of really incredible ways in which you find out more about the story, and you can really kind of, it's a true character RPG, where you actually really, really, really do end up kind of truly molding your own character. And that doesn't only just affect, you know, like essentially dice rolls of what happens when you click a button, but also actually the way that people respond to you and the way you can interact with the world around you. It's a very engrossing storytelling experience. The art style is fantastic. And, you know, it is one of my real nice surprise hits of the year and is well worth checking out.
Yeah, I had lots of good things in preview for this, and yeah, you're saying good things as well, but I still haven't. Is it just PC at the moment?
It's coming out on Xbox and PlayStation next year, in fairly early next year, I think. So it is well worth having a look at when it does jump the fence to plebeian platforms.
Your last pick really intrigues me. This is not something I would expect to see on your list, Dan.
Really, Cadence of Hyrule.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, it was just a really nice kind of change of pace to a lot of somewhat self-serious games this year. So Cadence of Hyrule is kind of like the Legend of Zelda makeover of Crypto the Necrodancer.
Which is still one of the best names of a video game.
Yes, still a fantastic name for a game. And I think because my gaming happy place is Link to the Past, so the Super Nintendo Link, you know, it just evokes so many, I think, happy, good, fun time memories for me. You know, the visual style of the game I love. It's got really nice upgrade system to it. You actually feel like you're making progress. The soundtrack is incredible, and it is just a really good, great, fun game that you can just dip your toe in and out of the water. And, you know, it surprised me how much I liked it, But yeah, I absolutely love Cadence of Hyrule, and I think it's well worth picking up.
That's great. I want to go back and do Crypt of the Necrodancer before coming back to this. The only issue I have is, I've said it a few times, the majority of my Switch playing is when I'm out and about, and trying to play a rhythm game without any headphones is a bit of an issue. Yeah, so I probably should invest in some Switch-only headphones or something dedicated for my Switch, so I will use them. But yeah, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. But you do obviously definitely need headphones. And certainly when I used to play it on the Tube, I'd rather than faff about headphones, I'd probably just used to have my Switch on mute, to be honest with you. Which obviously doesn't work well for a rhythm-based music game. But no, well worth picking up a pair of headphones for. There you go, Coleman.
But see, as Coleman alluded to, I wouldn't have put this on your list. It's like I wouldn't have guessed that you put a musical on your films of the year type thing. Like, that's as left field as this kind of. I just wouldn't have guessed you put a musical really? Game on your list of games. No, just
not. Although that Cats movie looks bonkers, doesn't it?
La La Land's a banger.
Yeah. La La Hyrule. Anyway,
So anyway, I'm glad I surprised you, but it's a genuine, heartfelt recommendation that when I was looking misty-eyed through what I'd done played this year, that was one of the ones that I thought, actually, you know, that was a really enjoyable experience. So,
okay, well, my three, as alluded to in my predicted picks, Mortal Kombat 11, that's ended up in my list, and I will kind of stress that my three picks seem to change daily, so this might not reflect what I think my top picks
are. So that is today in the mind of Coleman. Here are the best three games.
Exactly. I have been switching these out so much, but Mortal Kombat 11 I went for just because I wanted to try and get a kind of mixture of the games, types of games that I've got as my tops, and this is by far the best fighting game to come out this year. I think it's only one of like three fighting games to come out this year, to be fair, but it is a very good one. The visuals are amazing, the sound design is amazing, the playability of this game is absolutely fantastic, and the support through DLC and through online kind of... Every character you get, you can unlock extra items and equipment for, which you get through a kind of towers mode that connects online, a bit like the portals in Injustice 2. And that system works really well in Mortal Kombat 11 because it's kind of a tournament style that you're used to in previous games. It just has that element of unlocking extra items. And the DLC characters as well, like Nightwolf and Shang Tsung and Terminator. We still got the Joker to come and Spawn. Like, it's I've really had a lot of fun with this game. And even playing it in single player mode, the story is the kind of it's the cap on the end of the three games of Mortal Kombat X, Mortal Kombat
it's like the trilogy of stories, basically.
Yeah, 9, 10, and 11, basically, and it's a really good way to top it off. It's a really good game, bringing back all the old characters and stuff, making timed versions of the characters. So seeing like Johnny Cage from Mortal Kombat 1 go up against the current day Johnny Cage with all the experience he's had in these stories is a really good way of seeing things. And yeah, I just had a lot of fun. And then sticking that in multiplayer as well. I've given this game to so many people that don't really play Mortal Kombat or fighting games at all, but it's still a fun game to pick up and play. So that's one of my more enjoyable ones this year.
Yeah, I borrowed it off you and generally really enjoyed it. I have a problem with fighting games and their business models at the moment. I feel like you can't get the best unless you're supporting the season pass type stuff that comes with extra characters, and that just pumps up the price of the game to make the barrier of entry a bit. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, that's part of the reality, actually. You know, probably if you look at game prices, I'm not saying that 50 quid is cheap.
I understand that.
But you know, it probably doesn't cover the costs of development, hence why you're getting all the kind of the additional season pass bells and whistles that you need to. Well, you don't need to pick up, but you know, you greatly enhance your experience if you do.
And that's kind of when if you're not into, yeah, if you don't need all the DLC straight away, then yes, go in for these games on launch. I'm talking about the NeverRealm games, especially in the kind of way that they're doing these. But if you hold out and you wait, you can get this game at a full price. Yeah, with the Game of the Year edition with all the content and stuff included. And if you wait longer than that, then you know you can find that stuff on sale. I remember Injustice 2.
Exactly, and that's the point I'll wait to now to because you know I can get the advantage of borrowing it off you and playing through a bit and playing some with you. But then
even in this case, what I did is I waited for the full game to go down to £25 and then the season pass is £25 on top of that. So I paid the full price to get all the stuff basically. But I know all I had to do was wait like 3 months, you know, if you don't want to go in the ground floor, there is perfect ways around this to get your enjoyment out of all the stuff. The Outer Worlds was my second pick and,
not a bad pick, sir.
Not a bad pick at all. And I kind of put this down to one, it being on Game Pass, brilliant barrier to entry is, do you have an Xbox? Yes. Do you have Game Pass? Yes. Here you go. Here's this brand new game. And what they've done is created I really like Skyrim. Skyrim is probably my favorite example of one of these games, but I've never been able to get back into it in the same way that when I first picked up Skyrim.
Yeah,
and
fair.
Whenever I try Fallout or a similar type of game to Fallout, I just can't get into them. What Outer Worlds does is give me that Skyrim feeling in, but takes its kind of draws from other types of games from that ilk and actually gets me interested in them. And it's a shorter version of those games as well, because and when I say shorter, it's still a very long game. It's got a lot of side quests, a lot of things you could mess around. Physics are really good in Outer Worlds, and this is one of my more enjoyable games this year.
Unique weapons was something that I really loved about that game, though. Like the fact that it seemed like things that obviously there's other people that can discover, but it felt like only you could discover that thing in that universe and use that type of thing. It felt like it was a unique discovery, and it gave some really nice sort of breadth to that game, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem I have with these types of we'll call them Bethesda games just for the where it's stemmed from before, is I find the writing a bit wooden, the acting definitely very wooden, and with you've got this vast world that can be your playground, but it doesn't excite me. And this one, with its colors, what you've done is you basically opened this world up that could be very, very boring, but thanks to your writing and thanks to the color palettes and just the details they've used and the choices they've used to this game, it's made it much more exciting for me than I found before. So that's why I keep sticking with Outworlds and revisit. I haven't finished the game yet, but I find myself going back to it at least once a week just to go in and mess around.
I don't know if you found this as well, but there's something that seems a bit more, like you say, there's a wooden element to it and stuff seems a bit more alive, but there's something much more kind of fleshed out about the universe sort of thing. I don't know. There's something, it seems like a bigger universe that's it doesn't necessarily have more people in it, but it feels denser kind of thing, no? Like it's a
it's part of that, though, that kind of the Fallout and Skyrim series of games are both kind of dependent on their own quite considerable backstory, which you have to get your head round. And unless you understand that, the true impact of what you're seeing in the games isn't really a thing, as much of a thing for you. Whereas Outer Worlds is like, okay, right, we'll start from scratch. This world is brand new, and kind of you actually understand what's going on around you.
But I think you've helped me hit the nail on the head there. What it is that in those Bethesda games, the lore brings the world to life, whereas in this game, the characters bring the game to life, and I think that's bring the universe to life, and I think that's a bit of a marked difference between the two. The one thing. The reason I really did enjoy it myself, and I it's a game that I really want to go back to and play more. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, so I won't labour on it. But I was bogged down by some of the what felt like bad mission design that meant you ended up going through multiple loading screens too often, and that just taking too long and not being a good thing for the game, basically.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I hope they build upon this with DLC, because unlike Skyrim and Fallout, whenever they added DLC, it's like, here's a new area that you didn't know about, or here's something that's magically appeared on the map that you hadn't seen before. Whereas this is space. You can literally just add planets and go, we're going to a different
planet.
Yeah, I'm well up for that. I hope they do build upon this. And I'm really looking forward to see what the studio brings out in the future as well. The last one I had was Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Probably no surprise listening to previous shows, I absolutely adored this game. I couldn't stop playing this game. It was surprisingly lengthy for what it is.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
I'm still going on that.
Yeah, I kind of fell off this game pretty hard, actually. I felt it loses its momentum quite a bit in the middle third of the story.
Were you in Kashyyyk?
Yeah.
Without giving too much away. I think especially the second visit to Kashyyyk dragged out a bit too long, didn't want to make me do drugs
almost certainly, yes.
And there's some planets that feel like, I really like the exploration and doing stuff, but sometimes I wish it was a bit easier to get off the planet once you'd gone back to re-explore an area, because that would encourage me to explore a little bit more. But I don't know about you, that's one where I found myself going back towards areas before I go on towards a new area quite a lot to do more exploration and things.
Yeah, I mean, it blatantly, it actually kind of overtly tells you to do that. So, hey, by the way, you've probably opened up new areas with your fancy new force powers.
Literally, as I was about to go off to a new planet, like, one of the ship members went, there's some really good loot back on this planet in this place. And I went, okay.
You're like, just saying, you might want to have a look over there, okay?
Yeah.
But this is one of those ones, when I got to the, I can see why people have complaints with this game, and I can see why it's not for everyone. But for me, I felt when I was playing this game that this is one of those few occasions where I feel like a Star Wars game was made with me in mind, because it seems to make all the choices that I want. And I really, really enjoy this game. And I really like upgrading the character and having new force powers and changing it up on those. And the ending to this game is brilliant without giving anything away.
Yes. And I want to get to that before I can make, I should have got to that. Well, what I will say, I should have got to that and did attempt and tried to get to that before we did this list, because it may change based on what I've heard of how good the end game is. And my love of the game has increased as I've got towards that point, at least, basically. So, yeah.
And I'm hoping, I got to the end, and much like, and maybe this is a Respawn thing, but much like with the Titanfall 2 story, I got to the end and instantly went, yeah, I could do another one of them. So yeah. I'm assuming that their next project will have to be straight on Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, because money, and also Disney deal. But I'm hoping there'll be some story DLC thrown in there somewhere, because I'll totally pick that up.
Oh, that's a good point. That'd be nice.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed that as well. So, I could see that, and as I said, being a late entry onto my list and ousting one of the other titles, possibly. But yeah,
which one would it oust?
It's tight, but put it this way: Wargroove's safe. It would be between Luigi's Mansion 3 and Blood and Truth. But yeah,
You heard it here first. Tim says VR is rubbish. That's my reading in it. That's what I read into it. Star Wars.
Yes,
Star Wars,
exactly,
better than VR.
What I said. Yeah. VR is dead. Yeah. Long live VR.
What if they make Star Wars VR? I mean,
then I'm back in.
They already have, but...
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was in the first place.
I'll leave it with this.
That's why I want a quest.
I'll leave it with this for my Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. This year, it is my Spider-Man of this year. I absolutely adore this game.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I like single-player narrative games that really suck me in.
Yes.
Yeah.
You definitely like it.
Then you'd like Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah, and Control.
I love Control, but it didn't keep me going as long as I thought it would. You know?
Oh.
Mm. No, I'll go back to it.
Loss of Control.
No, that's something entirely different, Tim.
Plus, I was playing on PlayStation 4 for the launch, and there were a lot of technical problems at launch. So.
That was a year that was for all of us then, I suppose.
Hmm.
So, what is the year that will be a thing next year?
I think we're gonna have to kind of quickly run through these ones, because we've eaten up a lot of time, mostly on Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's all right. These are, and as we're sharing a few of these as well, so we should run through our picks for 2020.
Yeah.
So
the
first one is on all three of our lists.
We all agree on. Yeah.
Cyberpunk.
Actually coming out this year, hopefully, Dan.
Yeah. Cyberpunk 2077. And I've just put in brackets on the agenda. It's going to release eventually, right?
the fifth year running on Dan's list, Cyberpunk 2077. I don't know about you guys. I saw the initial, a 40-minute video presentation that they released on. I think they showed it at E3 behind closed doors, and then about 2 weeks later put it up online. I saw that, went, that's impressive. Not sure if I'd be into it. For me, it was this year's EGX and sitting through that presentation, which we've spoken about on the recent EGX show, seeing that sold me on the game.
The only disappointment for me is there are some things where, like, the original stuff we saw did look a bit more graphically impressive than some of the stuff we've seen more recently, perhaps. But it still looks like an amazing, immersive world that is, going to be slightly different to anything we've seen before, even though it's obviously based on an existing universe. But looks really fun, looks really good, looks like a game you can play the way you want to play it, and in multiple different ways.
And and this month's release date for it is 16th of April 2020.
Should be good. I think it's the only game I currently have on pre-order. So, yeah, there you go. That should say something.
So, Tim, you have... Well, since all three of us got that one, I'll let you get let you lead off with the other two on yours.
Well, me and Tim share another one. Yeah.
Well, I believe me and Coleman, yeah, also share another one. And we're teaming up for Marvel's Avengers.
You're the budget version of the Avengers that we all need. You're not the heroes we need. You're the heroes we deserve.
Yeah, it's one that got, like, a video that looked kind of impressive, but a lot of people were doubting it would actually play that way, and people criticising the faces. Defended the faces and the fact that I think they want to be slightly different characters so you can do whatever you want with them, because that's much more interesting than having to follow what happens in the movies. And having played the game, which Coleman and I both have, I think that's going to play very well and be really good fun at, like Coleman alluded to, the Spider-Man thing. I think this is going to, yeah, do for Spider-Man, or do for Avengers what last year was done for Spider-Man, basically. So I really do think it's going to knock it out of the park.
So next up is, we've already done Cyberpunk 2077. What the hell has Dan got this on his list for entry for next year is Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Now, Ori was, a couple of years ago, Ori and the Blind Forest.
And the Blind Forest.
Was a game I was...
How's your blinder forest, Dan?
Blinder
hey?
A forest. This time, he's got a guide dog, right? Okay. Guide dog has been found. The forest can now see. Stuff's going to happen. Madness will ensue. And it is the kind of the successor to the first Ori game. Obviously going to be very similar. Much so, I hate this particular portmanteau. It is another Metroidvania game, but it's very beautifully designed, certainly if the trailers are anything to go by. And the original Ori game, I think, is another one that's on Game Pass, and that if you haven't played it already, just play it. It's a wonderful game.
I have a question, Dan.
Yes.
How platformy is this game? Like, I think it looks nice. Is it a platform game that I might enjoy, though?
I think, yeah, it's more... Do you enjoy Castlevania?
Okay, I might have a look. I don't mind a bad Castlevania.
Interacting with the environment and having new abilities that help you do so, rather than pixel-perfect jumps.
Okay,
I recommend you check it out. On Game Pass, the first one, I believe.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I've been meaning to... Yeah. To try it out at some point.
Great game. Okay. And the kind of my more in hope it's going to be good than expectation is Watch Dogs Legion, where basically you are the mastermind of a giant cybernetically enhanced flash mob that trundles around London, where you can be nefarious or act for the greater good. So I think more of the reason I'm looking forward to Watch Dogs is Legion is that it is quite... In the way they're setting it up, what the actuality is, however, goodness knows, where you can kind of move between different people at the same instance, view things from a different angle, kind of coordinate between the different characters that you have under your control in London. Just sounds quite cool to me.
You just want to go down Camden as an assassin granny and
hey,
take
why
people
not?
Out, yeah?
Why not? Why not? It looks like it could be great. Whether or not it actually is, I don't know if kind of the idea of this game is brilliant, but actually if they'll be able to execute on that is another thing entirely. But I hope it's good, because if they do it well, this could be a really fun game. Well, I think that's probably a good note as any to finish the show. And nay, finish this year, chaps. But yeah, so kind of thank you very much for listening this year. We really, really appreciate it. I can't believe another year's gone by so quickly. But that's because I'm an increasingly old man and get fascinated by such things.
Hey, look, at least we've all got a new console launch or two to look forward to next year.
Well, I'm just hoping the British civilization makes its way till the next console release window, to be perfectly honest with you. But there we go.
It's going to be tight.
Right, so we are going to go. We're going to go and shuffle off and consume more mince pies or whatever it is we're doing. So thank you, like I said, for listening and downloading us this year. We really do appreciate it. And we hope that you point your podcast catcher in our direction again next year too.
Yeah, yeah. That should be a good year for Big Red Barrel next year, hopefully. Thank you for being along to this far. But we should have some nice surprises for you next year as well. But yeah, all good, all good. And a very happy new year to one and all.
So all that really remains is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been Coleman. I've also been sorry.
So make sure you head on over to www.bigredbarrel.com or twitter.com/bigredbarrel or facebook.com/bigredbarrel and follow lots of links to our Discord and come and say hello. So if you've done all of those things, well done. You've made it to the end of the episode. And all that really remains for me to say is until next time, toodle bye.
Podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.